With Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Because you'd want to have your head deeply buried in the sand right now to be unaware that Coldplay are doing a staggering 4 nights in Croke Park beginning next Thursday. But here's the thing. How did a relatively unassuming indie act from Oxford become such a global phenomenon, going on to be the biggest band of the 21st century? We're scratching our heads. See, you could tell us about how this happened. We realise that one of their absolute super fans works in the building with us. Carl Mullen, have you no home to go to?
What's the crack? Oh, come here. I'll gladly come in here to harp on about Coldplay. I am so buzzing for this concert.
Yeah.
Because you know what as well? I had a look back. Coldplay have not played here a lot.
No.
Last time was 2017, which was in Croke Park. Mm-hmm. But then I think it was 2011 was the first time before that.
So hang on, when was the first time you saw them?
First time I saw them was in The Point.
Yeah.
In 2008. And people might remember it was just before Christmas. It was the 22nd of December. So they played the Pogues, Fairy Tale in New York. Oh. So anyone who's at the concert will remember that. It was absolutely magic.
So Brian said that I was talking in my sleep last night and that I shouted, I saw them first, Carl. I saw them at Oxygen 2011. I was clearly being like, how can I one up you?
Oh.
That was the most bizarre year. Like, they headlined, they brought a Christy Moore with them on stage, but Beyonce was the support act.
Mad.
Beyonce into Coldplay was absolutely insane.
That is mental.
Yeah, so, yeah. But like, you've been into them obviously since early doors. Like 2008, like, did you know much about them at that rate?
2008, and do you know what? I think this is probably why I'm such a Coldplay fan. I think they've really aligned with, you know, when there's a band who comes along in your life where you just associate it with a really exciting time.
Yeah.
So Coldplay, 2008, that was the year I did my Leave insert. Same. And that's when they had just released Viva La Vida or Death and All His Friends. So that was the song Viva La Vida was on that. You had Lost. You had all these absolutely brilliant songs. And that, for me, is like the soundtrack to that really exciting time where you're starting college and you're going off traveling the world or you're doing whatever. That's, I think, why I became such a big Coldplay fan, because there's so much nostalgia attached to it as well.
Do you know what's so mad as well? Because obviously the phenomenon around them right now is absolutely like crazy, and they're doing the Croke Park nights. The Leave Insert results just came out today. You're bringing a whole new generation into that too.
And I think one of the things Coldplay have done very, very well is they've realised that concerts are not just for the people who are there in the stadium.
Yeah.
Concerts are for people at home watching on their phones. They've turned it into a visual spectacle.
Yeah, it's huge.
So it's really shareable. The content is the type of stuff that people will gladly consume at home on their phones.
This is
well.
The nerd side of you right now.
Oh, yeah.
Going, oh my God. Like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Talk me through this though, because like, they were just a young band, like I said in my opener there. They were an indie act from Oxford. Like, how on earth did they become this absolutely supernova, crazy phenomenon band?
Yeah, so they've been around since 1996, and they initially, if like, this is proper nerdy, their first name was Pectorals.
Oh, thank God they didn't say
that.
What
an awful name.
I
don't think that stuck for very long. Then they changed that to Starfish at one stage, and then they settled on Coldplay, and apparently the name was suggested by a friend who previously used it for his own band, but thought it was too depressing. He thought it was too depressing. And they took the name.
They were like, that suits us.
How sick is your man?
Absolutely disgusting.
That he, you know,
you'd want to have rights in that. That's like Simon Cowell with One Direction.
It doesn't really it doesn't really mean anything. But how they went on to become the band that they are. Like, look, there's a lot of people, and there'll probably be people texting in going, oh, Coldplay, oh, depressing music, oh, I couldn't listen to them, this, that, and the other. But do you know what it is about Coldplay? I think they've really managed to create music that actually hits an awful lot of genres, and it, you know, a lot of people kind of resonate with what they sing about. And this is going to sound really like airy fairy and highfalutin. I'm going to go real Dave Fanning here, right? I think the reason why Coldplay have become as big as they've become, because they make music that makes you feel something.
Right, you really did have to tee that one up.
Genuinely, right? But it's so hard to do that now.
Yeah.
Especially in this era of TikTok. A lot of it is just like, bam, get to the hook, get in, get out. Whereas Coldplay can make music still that could make you laugh, could make you cry, it could make you feel lots of different things. There's not a lot of that out there right now.
You can associate it to so many different moments as well. Like you're saying, you're leaving certain night out. You could associate it towards your best friend, your wife, your husband, your girlfriend, your boyfriend,
exactly.
your mom, your dad. Like there's so many areas that you can pop their music into and it suits.
I've loads of life moments that I associate with Coldplay. People will hear me harping on about Higher Power every time it's on the radio. Higher Power for me is such a big song. I don't have any tattoos.
Yeah.
And I am, and I still have a plan to get a line from Higher Power tattooed on me, right? Because it reminds me of going to the hospital for Davey, our first baby being born. Because I had to come off air because Ash went into labour.
I was supposed to be covering you and I slept in.
And, I remember Dunners at the time played it on the radio as I was sitting outside the hospital. It was the middle of COVID. I couldn't go in. I remember just bawling my eyes out. And for me, I'm like, that was that moment.
You did it for your Dance with the Stars as well.
I did it for a dedicated dance week on Dance with the Stars. And there's a line in it that says, "So happy I'm alive at the same time as you." And I love that line because it's just... It gives you an appreciation for the people around you and just how lucky you are to have them there.
We were talking about the gigs there a couple of minutes ago. You went to see them first in 2008, 2017 when they were here. Obviously, there's so much happening. We've gone through like the spectacle that they have, but they were one of the first people to ever have the LED wristbands.
Yes, I'm pretty sure they were the first ones. Well, to use it on that scale anyway, for sure. So they're actually called a Xylo band.
Oh.
That's what they call them. So they're the ones who've kind of pioneered this technology. Because I don't know if you remember that tour at the time in 2012 was called the Milo Zlotto.
Yeah.
I think that's the name. Now, the one thing I will say about Coldplay is they can sometimes come up with a few ridiculous names for things. That's, you know, we'll all admit that. The Milo Zlotto tour. And it's controlled by like the concert. It has their own like technical team. The bands have their own technical team where they synchronize the bands with the music. It's unbelievable.
It's outrageous.
Yeah. And what's great about it is the bands obviously visually are stunning to see when there's that many people in a stadium. But they kind of make the audience part of the show. It's like this weird thing where it starts to cross this line where you're no longer just a spectator. You are part of the spectacle. And that kind of is, there's something quite special about that, being part of the audience for that.
We've spoken about this. Yesterday we were chatting to the guy from BIM, Jonathan, and it was like that. It's trying to involve your audience and your fan base that they are so committed to you for your entire career because you've made them feel like you're part of this experience and you're part of this band and you can go on and go forth with it. We've obviously spoken about like how they've gotten really big, where they've come from, all that kind of stuff, but they are involved in something that's so much bigger. They do a lot of work with charities. Like, what kind of charities do they work with?
Yeah, I remember this is probably back, you know, in the kind of late 2000s, they were very heavily involved in the Make Trade Fair campaign, and you always would have seen, maybe still, they would have the Make Trade Fair kind of emblem across all their instruments, and you know, they would have been very vocal. I know that they've been very influenced by the likes of U2, and I don't know whether that's played a part in terms of their philanthropic work as well, but Make Trade Fair was a big one. They're heavily involved in Global Citizen, so they like do advocacy work and performances, and Chris Martin actually serves as a curator for the Global Citizen Festival, which raises awareness and funds to end extreme poverty. So they're involved in a lot of that. They've kind of like, obviously the situation in Palestine, it's very fraught depending on what part of the world you're in terms of what side people seem to be on, but he's kind of navigated that quite nicely as well, in terms of he's been very supportive for the people of Palestine.
God.
But presenting it from a point of view of like, look, like that's, you know, we should just be living in a world of love where like we're not doing these horrendous things to each other, you know. Yeah. And he's kind of made his point, but made it very subtly.
Yeah.
As in, what's going on? Like, we don't support it.
And like, look, everybody is shouting for the big celebrities of the world to just say something.
Yes.
It's the fact that he's a track record, the entire band has a track record of doing this forever. They've always, you know, from their early doors, they're like, no, well, we've got such a huge platform, like, let's use it without shouting at people. We're not making our entire existence about this, but we're very much supporting causes that need to be supported.
People might remember Live 8 as well and Live Earth. They were very heavily involved in that as well. So
they're also incredibly sustainable, and they make a serious effort when they're touring.
This was probably one of the reasons why it's been so long since we've had a Coldplay tour, because they did actually come out a couple of years ago and say, like, look, we're not touring again until we can make this more sustainable. Now, obviously, you had COVID, obviously, you know, delayed things as well. But for this tour, the Music of the Spheres tour, they've committed to reducing the carbon footprint of the tour by 50% to previous tours.
It's huge.
Which is huge. It's absolutely massive. And look, you can only probably limit the carbon footprint so much because you're going to have people travelling in from all over the world to see you and people travelling to your concerts. But they're going to use like different renewable energy sources, solar panels, kinetic floors. Kinetic energy floors.
I saw those in the airport for the first time last week.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah, that it's you just literally walk on them.
And so the idea is at a concert, you've got people jumping up and down, which power these floors, which in then turn helps power the concert. So it's
unreal.
Like in any way, shape or form, if you cannot be pulling energy off the grid that hasn't come from a renewable source, then they really want to try and avoid that if they can.
Okay, let's talk about some of the really fun stuff now. Okay, we've done all the nerdy bits.
Okay.
If you had to pick one of their albums to listen to, which one would it be and why? If you only had one.
It's an appalling question. It's an absolutely awful question. I think for me, it would be Viva La Vida.
Yeah.
By the way, can I just say Viva La Vida, that song, even though it's incredible, I don't think that's their best song.
Did Graham put you up to that?
I think, no, I genuinely, I'm with Graham on that one. I think, like, they've got some, that album has no duds.
Yeah.
I think that's the main reason why I love that album so much. From start to finish, it's one of those albums you can just put on and it's just magic the whole way through. I think A Rush of Blood to the Head runs it very close. Mm. To be fair, their last couple of albums have been kind of stinkers.
That's what I was going to ask you.
That's the truth of it. And you have to, maybe there'd be people who'll disagree. And like, this is obviously just my opinion. There's been a couple of bangers in between, but
Not start to finish.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's been, like they have a new album coming out in October. And I think now there wouldn't be a few belters on that.
We just played one of them a second ago called We Pray. And yeah,
brand new out today.
Yeah, so we only played that right before you came in while you were gone getting your breakfast.
Yeah, which took me way longer than I expected.
Yeah, I know. Jesus Christ. But talk to me about this, right? So, like, obviously, we're talking about like their albums and stuff. Does Chris Martin, does he have all the credit for it, or is it split evenly amongst the band?
So all of the band members get equal, like, credit, writing credit.
So you have to love that because they're all in it together.
Yeah, they all get equal writing credit in terms of, like, when it comes to the album sleeve, they're all equally credited. Realistically, it looks like it's Chris Martin is very much the brains behind that operation. And the reason why I say that is he also is, he writes songs for other artists. Mm. If you remember, one of the songs he wrote, which I really don't think got the credit it deserved, not from his point of view, Nelly Furtado, All Good Things Come to an End.
No,
All Good Things.
Did he write that?
He wrote that song.
Stop it.
Yes, he wrote that song. And there's loads of songs that he's written for other artists that have done really well.
This baffles me though, because where do you get the time?
I know.
Like, you're writing so many albums for yourself. You've never really given us that much of a stretch without music.
Yeah.
How do you have time to write? I kind of feel like they just write like hundreds and hundreds of songs and go, not going to suit us, throw those out that way.
Potentially, yeah. Like, you know, the other thing as well about Chris Martin in particular, and if you see him live at a concert, you realise like he's not just a singer in a band, he's a very accomplished musician. Mm-hmm. Like, you see him on the piano, he's absolutely class. But, you know, he plays guitar. He's actually just a music nerd at the centre of all of it.
No wonder you love him so
much. Oh, yes, a fellow nerd. It's great.
Speaking of nerd, we know that you absolutely adore juicy facts and trivia, mm-hmm. Coral. So tell us some about Coldplay.
They're a big fan of hidden tracks on their albums.
Okay.
This used to be a big thing
back in the day that you used to try and find the hidden song on a CD.
They've put hidden tracks on some of their albums and they're actually often absolutely brilliant. There is an interesting one as well about Chris Martin. He experiences a thing called synesthesia.
What's that?
So synesthesia is, now this is not the absolute definition, but it's kind of like where you experience other senses through another sense. If this makes, it's a terrible
word. This
is
very great.
It's a condition where one sense is simultaneously perceived as if by one or more additional senses. So for example, you could hear a word but visualize it as a color.
Okay.
It's a very strange thing that if you don't have it, it doesn't make sense. But there is, and I'm sure you'll get people texting in now, people who do experience it, or they will hear a word but taste that word.
I need someone to text us in about this.
It's a mad thing. So he gets that as well. Maybe that's again why he's so
the way he is.
You know, he just maybe smells. Maybe he eats a croissant and it just the song writes itself in his head. I don't know.
Carl, before you come into me, you mentioned a little surprise that that you wanted to tell everybody.
Yes. So, Laura Fox, everyone listening now, we all know that Coldplay tickets are like a gold dust.
Yes.
Absolute gold dust. And all summer, 2FM have been getting you to the biggest gigs and festivals across the country, from Taylor Swift to All Together Now, Electric Picnic. It's been amazing. Can you see where this is going? Well, next week, we're doing it again because we want to send you to Coldplay. There's tickets to their sold-out shows in Croke Park for you and a mate up for grabs. And all you can do to find out more is you can listen in to us on 2FM Breakfast on Monday morning. We're going to have all the information. These are the tickets for what is potentially going to be the gig of the decade.
Oh my God, this is going to be absolutely like unbelievable. You just need to listen into 2FM Breakfast from 6 o'clock on Monday morning. Mm-hmm. You guys will have all the details. Yep. A little snippet for you here. This will get everybody up. And look, we didn't give away Clock Blocker. We didn't give away Auto-Tune Fortune, but we will guaranteed be giving away Coldplay tickets.
Exactly. Next week, one of you listening right now is going to be going to Coldplay, even though you don't even realise it at the moment. All right?
So, so exciting.
Unbelievable.
Carl, look, we can't leave this without actually playing a Coldplay song. What song would you like to give us an outro on today?
I think this is one of their best songs. And it's definitely the song that they arrived with. This was the song that they absolutely like announced themselves to the world with. It's also the song that I sing to my 3-year-old at nighttime going to bed.
I think this is my favourite story of all time, the fact that Davey sings along to this.
So I would like to introduce this the way that he would.
Okay.
Here is Coldplay with Lello.
With Laura Fox. Podcast.